Hello, and welcome to Around and About Chattanooga. Our show features the people, the personalities, and the cultural events that make Chattanooga, Tennessee, and the Southeast such an interesting place to live. I am your host, Michael Edward Miller. It's Wednesday, March 28th, and first up on the show today, we're going to hear about a benefit concert coming up at the Collegedale Community Church. This story begins with a couple named Alan and Nicole Parker. Soon after they were married, they began having children. Within 3 years, they had a daughter and two sons. The children had arrived a little more quickly than they'd planned, but they were happy, despite Nicole's nagging feeling that they were supposed to have another daughter. WUTC's Richard Winham picks up the story from here.
I started feeling like, you know, I think there's somebody else we're supposed to adopt. So I said that to my husband, and he told me in no uncertain terms that we didn't have energy to take care of the three we had.
Alan Parker is a professor of religion at Southern Adventist University in Collegedale. Alan is originally from Zimbabwe. Nicole was born in Arkansas. They are both deeply committed to their religion, and Nicole is often content to wait for divine providence to satisfy even her deepest longing.
At that point, I started saying, well, Lord, I really believe that you have somebody we're supposed to adopt. But I don't know where she is, and I don't know who she is, and I don't even know for sure that she exists. And my husband feels that she doesn't exist, so I was at peace with that. I said, you know, Lord, if you want us to adopt, you'll have to tell him too. It would have to be a decision that both of us make, and if it's not, then it won't be from you. So I left it at that, and I was at peace.
Sometime after that, a friend of Nicole's told her about a program in which children living in orphanages around the world are invited to come to spend Christmas or a few weeks in the summer with a family here in the U.S. Forgive me, Nicole, but it strikes me that it's potentially enormously emotionally wrenching for both parties.
Yes.
For the little ones to come all this way from where they... from anything they're familiar with, for a relatively brief time.
Yes, it is. But we find consistently that children who come over here, they have an opportunity to learn a little bit of English, get some good food, they bond with a family, and often they stay in touch when they go back to their country of origin. And quite a few of the children get adopted.
When they bought their first house 6 years ago and began decorating, Nicole immediately began making provisions for her second daughter.
Because I felt she was somewhere out there. When I put up hooks in the children's bathroom for their towels, they came in two packs and not just one. So I didn't just put up three hooks, and I was so happy when I found out I have to get four of them because I'm hanging up four, one for her too. I was just waiting for her.
Nicole began looking into the visitation program and was given a collection of photographs and short descriptions of the children who might come to visit. One of the photographs she saw was of a 12-year-old girl called Anya living in Ukraine near the Russian border. So it's presented to them as a kind of vacation?
Yes, they're told you're going to get to have a cultural experience, learn a new language, try new foods, and of course they're excited because they're coming over here to get clothes, and they've seen a lot of their friends come over here and go back over there with gifts from their families. So the children get a letter telling about the family they're going to and usually some photos of the family, and that's all that they know until they land at the airport with their group, with a chaperone from their country, and they're parceled out to the families that they're staying with, and then they have to just call in once a week to talk with someone to make sure that they're doing well.
And at what point is it made clear to them that they may be adopted? Not from the beginning, right?
Not from the beginning, although, of course, many of the children know that some of their friends have gotten adopted when they've done this. Mm. But some of the children don't want to be adopted. Many of them do have biological families back in their country, but that for one reason or another, they can't live with them. Maybe it's their grandparents or aunts and uncles, or their parents are alcoholic, but they are just in this school and, you know, a government boarding school in Ukraine, where our daughter is from. The government boarding schools are a place that parents can put their children if they don't want to support them or can't support them. She came to us to visit for the first time when she was 13.
So it was a year later.
Right. But since her father was still alive in prison, she wasn't legally an orphan and she wasn't available for adoption. And that's where my husband came in. where he had heard me talking about hosting orphans, and, you know, I'd helped many of my friends find kids that they could bring over and spend time with their families. So he knew it was on my heart, but he said, "We'll take this girl," because it was specifically listed in the photo listing, "This one is not available for adoption." She was the only one that had that written on her profile. So he said, all right, we'll bring her. And he smiled triumphantly and said, "No matter how much you fall in love with her, you can't adopt her." I said, "All right, agreed." And of course, I didn't know where the Lord's going to lead with this, but I thought, this is an opportunity for us to do good for an orphan. I have a burden for children who don't have parents. And I wanted to help her. And I thought, you know, we're not going to adopt her. She's the oldest of our children anyway. And I know everyone says, don't adopt a child who's older than your biological children. And so I was thinking, this is basically a mission trip we bring to our home, instead of me having to rake together the money to take our children off to some other country and do good for a few weeks. We'll bring a child home. We'll give her dental care. We'll let her spend Christmas with our family.
Alan and Nicole, along with their three children, drove down to Atlanta to the airport to meet Anya just before Christmas. The young girl spoke very little English and was apparently terrified. All the way home, she sat in the car answering their questions, saying little more than yes or no. But by the second day of her visit, she began to open up.
Within a few more hours, she was starting to laugh as she played with our daughter.
So they bonded.
Yes, they began to bond.
About the same age.
Right. A year and 2 weeks apart to the day. Mm. Now, our biological daughter was absolutely thrilled and enthusiastic about the whole idea. "You have no idea how much I want a sister. We'll have the best times ever." I said, "Well, you know, I do have some experience with having sisters. I mean, having had three of them, they're pretty much like having brothers, except they wear your clothes and live in your space." Which she found out all too soon, that having a sister was not all roses and sunshine. But the girls bonded, and they started having a lot of fun together, sharing clothes, sharing dolls. Now, Anya had not ever had a doll, I don't think. She was absolutely enraptured with my daughter's dolls. You know, so a 12-year-old and a 13-year-old, they were having at it in no time at all, dressing baby dolls and playing with them. And that's where I started really seeing her nurturing side come out. We gave her a baby doll for Christmas. She was elated and just loved this doll, dressed it, hugged it, played with it. And I realized, look, she's making up for time that she didn't have as a child. But I saw, here's a tender spirit. This is a child who does love. She's very, very free to attach. My husband picked up her doll once from the chair that he was going to sit in and put it down on the floor. And she came over to him. "Daddy, no, you're very bad." Picks up the doll and scolds him for putting the baby on the floor. So he played along, and it didn't take her long to warm up. After those first couple of days, she started chattering to us. Now, she spoke almost no English. It was probably about a week before we were in the store somewhere, and she bolted around a set of clothes and said, "Mom," to me about something. And from then on, I was Mommy. And pretty soon she started calling my husband Daddy right after that. And so for more than 2 years now, we've been Mommy and Daddy to her.
Following the Christmas visit, Anya came back again for a second visit with the family the following summer. That was the point at which you started the adoption process. Is that
well, right? We were going to. At that point, before she had gotten back, my husband had already come to the point on his own where he said, if she's available for adoption, I'll be ready to do it. But we thought that she wasn't. Now, her father had to sign the paperwork, but that was a long process. Her father had agreed he would sign the paperwork, but then things went back and forth, and there was just no way to make sure of anything, and then her brother talked to her and begged her not to leave, and she was in agony. So the summer finished, and she wasn't quite sure what was going to happen. But then we brought her back for Christmas, and shortly before Christmas, she contacted me. By that time, we'd sent her a phone so we could stay in touch. And she said, "Mommy, I've decided I want to be forever in America." Now, for her, this is a huge sacrifice. I mean, you imagine, for teenage girls, their whole world is their friendship network, particularly a child who doesn't even have parents with her. So she was deciding to leave behind her language, her culture, her friends, everything familiar, to come and be with our family. And I realize that that is a tremendous sacrifice for her to make. So she's made this decision knowing this is what's best and wanting to be a part of our family because she genuinely loves us. But I also know that this journey for her is going to be one that's paved with tears. It's going to be very hard for a child who actually loves people to leave behind all of her attachments over there.
So she's 14 now?
She's 15 now.
So this is almost 3 years since you first met her.
Right. It's been, almost 2.5 years. Mm. It'll be nearly 3 years by the time she comes home because we probably won't be able to get her home until August. But her father had signed the paperwork, thankfully, before he died in February last year. He went ahead and agreed to sign the paperwork. He said one of his conditions was that she had to come to the prison to meet with him face-to-face and tell him she really wanted to do this. Mm. And just by pure providence, some women who worked at her school where she was last year just said, we have to make this happen. So they drove her to the prison, organized for her to be able to go in and meet with her father. And he talked with her, she said, for a couple of hours and tried to persuade her, are you sure you want to do this? You could stay here in Ukraine with me. And she said, no, Daddy, I want to be with this family. They love me. They're a good family. They'll take good care of me. So she persuaded her father, and he said, all right, then find a way to get the paperwork in, and I'll sign it. But we weren't sure what was really going to happen still. You know, he's saying he'll sign the paperwork, but maybe he just wanted to get his daughter into the prison to actually see him, and this was his only way to do it. You know, we didn't know. Mm-hmm. And then we heard that he was about to be moved to another prison. So we didn't know how to get paperwork to him. I mean, I'm trying to find a notary online to take the documents to him for him to sign in front of a notary in the prison. We were just hitting roadblock after roadblock. And I just prayed and agonized before the Lord and said, please find somebody who will go. And long story short, it was organized. Somebody got a notary into the prison. The day before he was supposed to be moved to another city, we didn't know how we would get somebody to wherever he was going to be next. They went in the prison. He signed the paperwork. And then the clock began ticking because in Ukraine, once that paperwork is signed to release her to be put onto the orphan listing, because he had also said he wasn't going to sign anything if it said that he was rejecting her or turning his back on her, but we didn't know exactly what his conditions were. Mm. So it was all up in the air. But once he signed, then it's 14 months in Ukraine after that signature is registered before she becomes legally available for international adoption.
Lost in the shadows, alone in the darkness, searching for myself again. But I had to be perfect.
Nicole's wish has been granted, but she's acutely aware of the many hurdles that remain. Anya's mother was murdered when Anya was 12 years old. Her father also died a violent death. There's also the cost of international adoption, typically between $30,000 and $50,000, according to Nicole. But just as they have from the first time Anya came over, Alan and Nicole's friends have helped them raise the money. This Saturday, March 31st, there'll be a benefit concert in Collegedale Community Church to help raise the money. This is Erica Michaud. She is one of the featured singers in the concert, which will feature a host of singers and players, including Steve Darmody, Martin Young, and from Nashville, Benjamin Jenkins, the newest member of the King's Herald Quartet.
And then I found you, the missing piece of me. You love me as I am, show me who I can be. And then I found you, you wipe the tears away. You see through my faults, and you love me anyway. Now that I found you.
I am not a person who asks for money, so I was completely shocked when the concert even came up. Our friend, who was a student from the university where my husband teaches, Ethan McGrath, he just contacted me and said, would it be okay with you if I organize a concert for a fundraiser? I said, wow, yeah, that would be great. And so he has, and we've ordered t-shirts to sell for donations, and we have some bags that my sister's made, like you put rice in them and microwave them and they warm up your neck, and just things like that. My sister has raised well over $1,000 selling these little bags that she's just made. Just everyone has come together to bring our daughter home.
Details about the concert are on Facebook under Bringing Anya Home, a benefit concert. For WUTC's Around and About Chattanooga, I'm Richard Winham.